You're listening to a sermon from Christian Life, the Island Church, in Orange Beach, Alabama. For more information, visit christianlifechurch.tv.
Today, we're talking about when God shows up. And of course, we looked at Moses for a while. Now we're looking at Joshua. And we looked at God's call, if you will, of Joshua's life last week. We're going to pick up from there this week. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. It says this: After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, you and all the people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Now, let me stop right there for just a moment. What God was doing was encouraging Joshua about a new day. And he was building him up because he was going to ask him to do some things like he had done to Moses, and how he had to get Moses in a position and ready. And of course, Moses was it was a new day in that it was a second chance. It was an opportunity that Moses thought had gone, that had bypassed, that there was no longer. So God had a lot of work to do in Moses. Now, God has a lot of work to do in Joshua because he's getting ready to ask him to do something that he's got to deal with his mind and deal with the past. And so what God asked of Joshua is huge. He said, let go of yesterday. Let go of yesterday. Now, that's huge because Moses was the greatest leader the children of Israel had known. He was the man. In fact, the Bible says he was the meekest man that ever lived. He talked with God. He did incredible miracles. He was a man of God. And for 40 years, that's all they had known. How many know if you have a strong leader, supernatural, incredible provision, it's easy to get comfortable in that. And when that's taken away, then all of a sudden everyone feels like, oh, what are we going to do? That happened whenever my dad passed away. He had pastored the same church for 58 years. That's all that Silver Moon Full Gospel Church, that's all they ever knew was Fred Frank Sr. He had basically started the church. I told you the story last week about how he just went to fill in for a guy who went on his honeymoon. It was my mom and my sister and my grandma and another family. He said he didn't even feel called to preach at that time. The guy said, will you fill in for me? I started a church. And so he went the next week. The guy didn't show back up. He went the next week. The guy didn't show up. He went the next week. And so my dad said, really, all he did was fill in for 58 years. The other side of that is that must have been one heck of a honeymoon, because the guy never came back. Here's what some of the leaders in my dad's church, the main leader, Don, who comes and spends winters with us. He said this, he said, Freddie, he said, please don't let us fall apart. Please don't let us fall apart. Because we know how that when there's a long-term pastor and he leaves or he passes on, how things just disintegrate. And so that's part of the reason that I left here when I first became pastor, shared and preached about 3 or 4 or 5 weeks, and then went and pastored my dad's church after he passed away, preached his funeral, which was the greatest honor I've ever had, and then got up the next morning and preached in his church, came home and told y'all, I'm going home to take care of my dad's church. I'm coming back because I'm leaving my wife here, so you know I'm coming back. And went and preached it at his church for that summer to help them through that transition. Now, that's a kind of a small but relevant way that, you know, that helps us to see this. Moses, it was like, what's going to happen? Moses is dead. Here's what God was doing. He was preparing Joshua to take over. And Joshua was taking over for his mentor. Joshua was taking over for his hero, so to speak. And God's saying to Joshua, listen, Moses, my servant, is dead. You've got to let go of yesterday. You've got to let go of past expectations. You've got to let go of past victories. And there had been some victories. The Red Sea had been opened. The cloud to lead him by day. The fire to lead him by night. The manna. Water coming forth out of the rock. Bitter water becoming sweet. Every day. The provisions for 2 million people wandering around in the desert. And Joshua had watched this day in and day out. And God is saying, Joshua, you're going to have to let go of these past victories. He wasn't saying forget them. He's just saying, I'm going to do it different. You got to let go because I have something new. It's a new day. I believe it's a new day for Christian Life, the Island Church. I believe it's a new day for each one of your lives. You don't have to be the same. Your marriage don't have to be the same old rut, the same old discouragement, the same old up and down. It can be a new day for your family. It can be a new day for this church. It can be a new day for your business. Listen, we're going to have to put ourselves and allow God to prepare us for that new day. Let go of those past frustrations and failures. Joshua had frustrations because he had been one of the spies that took the 12 spies in, and he and Caleb came back with a good report. The others came back with a negative report and said, we are nothing but grasshoppers in their sight. There's no way. Joshua and Caleb came back and they said, it's the land that flows with milk and honey. If you've ever been to Israel, and I have one in my office, it's Caleb and Joshua carrying those grapes that are almost the size of the men that's carrying them. It was something they saw as the promise of God, but the people said, no, there ain't no way. The frustrations of the people. They saw how they treated Moses, how they bellyached and complained against Moses. They saw how many of those people were swallowed up. The earth opened up and literally swallowed them up. Joshua knew that he wasn't taking in his generation. He wasn't taking in the people that had wandered around. He's taking in those people's kids. And we talked about spirit reproduces spirit. You may not think that you're influencing your kids because what you do is in private. Spirit reproduces spirit. Spirit reproduces spirit. If you're angry, they're going to be angry. You're creating an atmosphere. And let me tell you, Joshua no doubt felt, man, I've got a job before me. Because that bunch was bad, and I know their kids are probably going to be worse. And so he had to let go of those frustrations. What did we talk about? Don't forget this phrase. Yesterday ended when? Last night. Yesterday ended last night. It's a new day. It's a new day. And what does the Bible say? His mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. What we got to do is we got to stop rehearsing it. We got to stop rehashing it, rehearsing it, and replaying it. Stop building up imaginations in our mind. How long are you going to complain or gripe? How long are you going to hold over the head of your spouse? How long are you going to stay in that same rut and never break into a new day? God says it's time for a new day. That takes a lot of courage and guts. It takes a lot of faith, and it takes a lot of the Holy Spirit to keep your mouth shut and not say the same old things that you've been saying. So we got to stop rehearsing, rehashing, and replaying. Negative thoughts bring negative emotions. If you got to change the way you think, you can't enter into your new day, the promised land. Canaan represented the promises of God, and you can't enter into the promised land dragging the weight of your frustration. And some of you live such frustrated lives. You always got a chip on your shoulder about something, and you're frustrated, and underlying is anger, and underlying is really insecurity about who you are in Christ. If you know Christ, you're in Christ. So you can live in the authority of Christ. You got to check your baggage. Check your baggage at the door. I prayed with the worship team before we came out. I said, we got to check our baggage right here. Lay down our bags and go out and worship as an audience of to an audience of one, and believe that we're going to take a whole lot of people with us to the throne of God. And so it's a new day. You got to change the way you think. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is him. So is he. You want to change your life, you got to change the way you think. You're changing your heart, and that's only by the Holy Spirit. And you change your life and your heart, then you're able to change your words. If all you try to do is not say something, you're eventually going to let that venom spill out again. You got to change your heart. The Holy Spirit, no longer conformed to this world, I'm transformed by the renewing, the Word of God, God in my mind. You got to stay fresh, stay current. Too many people are stale. Too many people have spoiled. I didn't say you are spoiled. Some of you are. But I'm saying we've spoiled. How many know what I'm talking about? There's been times that Liz has left, gone to see her mom, or been gone for a week or two. And when she goes, And if I'm not careful, I'll put something in the refrigerator because it looked good. I went shopping and I got everything I wanted. And it looked good at the time, but when I got it home, I just never did get around to it. I couldn't get rid of the potato chips and the ho-hos and the ding-dongs. And I never did get to the fruit. I never did get to those little red berries. I always think, man, those look good. And so what ends up happening is I grow a scientific experiment in my refrigerator. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And I think, what in the world? Where did that come from? It was white, and now it's black, and now it smells. Let me tell you, if you don't change, you spoil. See, here's what I'm talking about. Fresh bread. Jesus is the bread of life. So what do we need? Fresh bread. You don't have to eat stale bread. God's word, God's mercies are new every morning. Why in the world would you eat stale bread when you can have hot, fresh bread? Hello? But that's what we do in the word. Fresh bread. Understanding, you can't sell on yesterday's win. You can't live off of yesterday's anointing. Yesterday ended last night, so we gotta let go of yesterday and live in this new day. God's preparing us, and he's gonna show us some things this morning. He's showing us how to move into a new day. How many are tired of the old, and you're ready for the fresh, you're ready for the new, amen? Now let me remind you, When the Bible talks about God doing a new thing, we talk about God doing a new thing. Here's what I've discovered. Usually, the new thing is an old thing that we've abandoned. Usually, the new thing, it's getting, when I talk about staying fresh, it's staying fresh in worship, staying fresh in word, staying fresh in relationship. It's doing our first works over again. It's returning to our first love. It's drawing close to Him. Lord, this thought comes to mind. It's so old. I've heard my dad talk about it from when I was a little kid. It's about the husband and wife. It's got to be old because they had a bench seat. It wasn't bucket seats. They're driving down the road and she said, how come we don't sit close like we used to? We used to just snuggle up and sit so close. And he looked at her and he said, I haven't moved. Maybe we've scooted over in the seat, and maybe it's time we scoot back. Maybe it's time we get close once again and let yesterday in last night. I can't do a lot about my past. It can go under the blood. I can make some restitution where God leads me to make restitution. I can make things right. But I start living free in Christ. I start living close, and it will affect your home. It'll affect our church. It'll affect our community. Still with me? Amen? Verse number 3, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river of the Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and courageous. Be careful to do according to all that is in the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Can you say a big amen to the reading of God's word? What a powerful, powerful passage of scripture. Now here's what I want us to grab a hold of this morning. We've talked about letting go, that God's preparing us for this new. So how do we step into it? How do we walk it out? How do we change? We change the way we think. How do we change the way we think? By allowing God's word, His spirit. Obviously, it starts with knowing Him, but His word and His spirit. Here's what I would challenge you with this morning. Accept God's promises. I had a little epiphany this week in my own thinking. And I understand I understand that so much of this may just seem like semantics, but I believe that there was something that the Lord wanted to get across to me, and He wants to get across to us. And I understand the phrase, we need to claim God's promises. But there's something in this passage of Scripture, and it shows me. He says that we are to step onto the ground We talked a little about this when we talked about stepping out with God. We talked about walking on this conquered ground. But it's not claiming God's promises, because he's already given us his promise here. And this promise, the land which I'm giving it. So the idea is not to claim it in this passage of scripture. I love this word. The idea is to accept it. Accept it. See, if Kev, you take that pen. I could say, Kevin, I claim that pen. That's my pen. I know that's my pen. I know that's my pen because I let you borrow it right there. I claim my pen. I claim my pen. I can stand here and claim my pen and never get my pen back. Right? What do? I accept it. I accept it. I receive it. And that's what I'm talking about with God's promises. You accept it. Not just claim it. You can talk about it all day long. See, here's what I've discovered. When it comes to the promises of God, people window shop. Now, you guys don't probably understand window shop. Maybe it's an expression. But you go on Amazon and eBay. I know eBay, okay. Pinterest. You look at all these things. I say, Liz, what are you looking at? Pinterest. And she just, I still pick up magazines to look at. I'm sorry. I'm trying hard, okay? I'm doing good. I'm doing better. I'm getting high tech. I even have my phone with me today because I'm trying to keep track of steps. And I think, I walk a lot when I preach, so I'm going to keep my phone on me today. I'm going to get those steps on my account too. Amen? You look and you say, man, I'd like to have that. Man, I'd like to have that. Man, I'm gonna tag that right there. Man, I'd like to have that. People window shop when it comes to the Word of God. It's like, I'm going to someday. Man, I'd like to have that. They never accept it. They're talking about it. Hey, listen, there's tons of charismatic Christians that want to claim. I claim my promise. I claim my promise. I claim it, claim it, claim it, claim it. Name it, claim it, name it, claim it. But they never receive it. There are tons of people who die and never receive it because they never move from talking about it. All they do is talk. And what God is telling Joshua is, I want you to literally step and that's yours, that's yours, that's yours, that's yours. You're accepting what I've already given you. It's not, I'd like to have it. I wish someday, oh, someday our marriage, someday our finance, someday, oh, it could never happen to me. Oh, God could never forgive me. Hebrews 11:6, you need to jot it down in your notes there. But it tells us this, that he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Most people believe God is. How many believe God is? He's the great I am. He is God. Amen? And that he is a rewarder. Meaning, how many believe God can? God has a reward. God has a reward for those who seek him. I believe that God can do anything of those who diligently seek him. We think, well, I don't diligently seek him. See, we believe God is and we believe God can, but we stop short because we think, well, he would never do it for me. Oh, he might do it for Pastor Fred, but I don't think he would do it for me. He might do it for Dr. Caleb, but I don't know if he would do it for me. He might do it for Liz, but I don't know if he would really do it for me. And we have to get beyond playing God and understand that if we are in Christ, we are his children, his inheritance is ours. He has made promise to us, and what we do as his children is accept it. Amen. Accept it. Listen, listen. God knows he's going to get my best. And he knows I'm going to give this church my very best. I believe this is a new day. There's a new life. There's a new energy inside of me. There's this hope inside of me. We're praying. We're laying hands on chairs, downstairs, upstairs, believing for breakthrough to take place in individuals, in marriages, in lives in this church. I believe the best is yet to come. I believe God's promise is for this church. He didn't give up on this church. When we were at our worst, he didn't give up on this church. I've told God, God, I'm tired of just getting by. I'm tired of preaching and people looking at me like a calf at a new gate. I'm tired of just barely being able to pay the bills. I'm tired of not having enough money for missions. I accept the promise of God that you want your church to be a victorious church. The church is victorious because the people are victorious, because we are the people of God. It's not a building. It's when we gather. It's time to say yes to the promise. Yes to the promise. He says, I will not leave you. It's his promise. Don't be frightened or dismayed. It is his promise. This morning, why is it so important to be a person of the word? So you know what his promises are. So you can stand on his promises. Last night I couldn't go to sleep, and I was going through my message, and I got to that point, and I couldn't help but think of an old song I sang as a kid that went, standing on the promises of Christ our King through eternal ages, let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing because I'm standing on the promises of God. That's where I stand today. I stand and I accept. I receive. It's for us and it's for now. See, God's getting this through. God is getting this through to Joshua's life. Here's what you got to do. You got to accept these promises. Now, here's the next thing. Accept my will for your life. Accept my will for your life. Look at Joshua 1, verses 2 and 3. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now arise, go over the Jordan, you and all the people, into the land. I'm giving it to them. Accept it. I'm giving it to them, to the people of Israel. Now, every place that the sole of your foot will tread, I've given to you. Just as I promised. Every place that you step. Here's where the will of God comes in. The will of God was for them to step out. Walk in his will. His will was everywhere they stepped. That was what God had given, and they were accepting it. They weren't claiming it. They were accepting it. It had already been given. Do you know the reason? You know, probably the number one question that I'm ever asked as a pastor is this: Pastor, pray for me because I'm praying for God's will. And I think that's a good prayer. Don't misunderstand me. I don't belittle that. But I think the reason that we struggle with the will of God, and usually people, when they talk to me about the will, they're seeking the will of God, they already have a predetermined course that they want to take. And the reason that the will of God becomes crisis in so many people's life is this: it's because they're hell-bent on doing what they want to do. It's not an issue of step on the promises. It's not an issue of receiving God's promises. It's an issue of, I have an idea, I have a thought, here's what I want to do, and the consideration to say, not my will but thy will, It never takes place. It seems like to me that many times when we seek God's will, the reason we all of a sudden want to seek God's will we are wanting to do our thing and we're wanting to do our will. The will of God has to do with lordship. The will of God was for the children of Israel to accept the promise. The will of God was for the children of Israel to enter into the promised land. The will of God was for them to be prosperous and have good success. But they had to walk. Now let me tell you this. The will of God is it's not about so much the destination as it is the walk. It's in the everyday walk. In fact, I would say this. There wouldn't be near as many crises. What's the will of God? Oh, we're praying for the will of God. We want to know what the will of God is. Well, can I be so bold as to challenge you with this? If you and I were walking in the will of God every day, if we were praying, not my will, but your will, if we were praying lordship and surrender in our lives, there wouldn't be near as many crises because we would be walking in God's will anyway. And when opportunities present themselves, we're already in tune, we're already walking in the Spirit, we're already walking in His will, and it's so easy just to continue to walk. The reason we have these pauses in our life and we have these seasons, oh, we're going to pray for God's will for the next how many weeks and we're just going to sit up. It's because we're trying, underline, to accomplish what we want to accomplish. If we're walking in it, we know. We know. And so I need to accept God's will. And God's will, you know, people use a lot of different paradigms to determine God's will. And this isn't the God's will message, but I'm going to tell you this. You don't violate the will, and you don't violate peace, and you don't violate unity. I never violate peace with my life and with my family. I don't violate the peace of Liz. I don't violate the peace in my heart. I don't violate the peace, and I don't do anything without absolute unity. Never made a decision. Just, well, here's Liz, what we're going to do. And those are some big measures. Now, obviously, that comes out of a life and a life of prayer and a life of being in the Word and a life of walking with God. But people use some cockeyed ideas of how to determine God's will. And let me just say this. Some people say, well, you know, why, it just seemed like the right thing to do. Let me just tell you, if you're ever in that situation where you say, well, you know, and they go with circumstances, and I understand circumstances can play a part overall schemes, but whenever someone says, well, it just seemed right, there was just an open door, it just seemed right, that is the craziest reason to make some kind of change in your life of anything I've ever heard. I'm going to tell you why. Jonah got on a ship to go the opposite way of God's will, and there wasn't one hindrance. It says he went down. He went down. It was a downhill road. It was easy. How many know it's easier going downhill? I've been riding my bike a lot. You don't think there's any hills around here? There's hills around here. And I ride that bridge from where we live, and I come down that beach road, hitting that bridge, that'll hit you hard. Hits me hard. And it hits me harder going back. It's a lot easier coming off that thing. Man, I kick coming down that bridge. I try to make it all the way to surf style. Which one? They're everywhere. There's just one down there. I love going downhill. It's easy going downhill. Jonah went down. It was easy. There was no obstruction. He went right down and got on the ship, went right down and got out of the will of God because it just seem like the right thing to do, because there was an open door. Be very, very careful. What God is saying, he's saying, you walk this thing. You walk it out. You walk it out. Accept my will. See, in my life, now I'm not going to go into detail. Maybe at some juncture I will, but in my life, I have ended up in places that I never anticipated. Maybe wasn't the primary. See, because we sometimes think that God's will always is easy. God's will is not easy. God's will is not easy. That's why Christ prayed, not my will, but your will. It was not easy to go to the cross. But the fruit of obedience was amazing. And sometimes God asks me to do things. We have this American 21st century Christian idea that everything's easy. No, sometimes it's challenging. But when you begin to see the breakthrough, when you begin to see the fruit of obedience, amen. Amen. Things have been hard, but we're going to see the fruit of obedience, of us sticking together, staying together, new people coming in, new people that's been here for a while, people that's nailed their foot to the bottom of the ship, who said, if it goes down, we're going down. But guess what? We're all going to see the fruit of sticking and walking the will of God out right here at Christian Life, the Island Church. And we will in our life, and we will in our marriages. Amen. So we accept God's will. Let me just mention this. Accept God's presence and power. Accept God's presence and power. He says this in Joshua 1:5, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Accept it. I will not leave you or forsake you. Let me close with this scripture. Hebrews 13:5. Hebrews 13:5 says, keep your life free from the love of money. Be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. I will never leave you or forsake you. When you study that, and it comes across in the strongest negatives in the Greek. In fact, you can't get any stronger. Here's the way it literally comes across. God is saying this, I will never, never, never forsake you. You can't get any better than that. I will never, never, never. Not just I'll never. I will never, never. It was emphatic. It was emphatic. He's saying that the Lord is with us. He's my helper, and I will not be afraid. Listen, so we can confidently say, there's four things that happen when we realize God's with us. I give you one, confidence. Confidence. Confidence and faith, literally interchangeable, but I can confidently say, 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence. Philippians 1:6, and I'm sure of this. I'm sure. I'm confident. He who begins a good work will bring it to completion. This morning, we can accept God's presence and God's power. Accept his promise. Accept his promise. Don't just think, man, I'd like to have it. It's ours. He's promised it. Let's walk it out. We walk it out. We walk out the will of God, the promise of God. We'll pick up on this, and we have his We have his presence and his power. Nothing in the world. Presence of God. Father, your presence in this place is the most important thing that we'll ever experience. God, your presence and your power. Many times it's a life of faith, and by faith we accept. By faith we accept your presence and your power. Lord, this morning I'm praying this. I'm praying breakthrough in lives, breakthrough in marriages, breakthrough in workplaces. I'm praying today that we'll begin to experience your presence. When God shows up and we start having a faith to accept the promise, a faith to walk it out, a faith to say, yes, I'm not alone. I might be by myself, but I'm not alone. Father, I pray today, set us free by your power, your grace, and your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.